You know what I need now? I need the sound of footsteps walking on wet concrete and maybe a foghorn in the background. You know, something like John Cass covering the waterfront. But you know, at the waterfront, there's always something that you don't see. You see the sum of it, but not all of it. Those little chunks of wood that are sticking up out of the water, those are piers and pilings. And they go deep into the water, right? They go deep into the ground under the water. And if those things get rotten, and if they get old and rotten, something happens. They all fall apart, and then your boat gets, you know, capsized, or your casino slips into the water of Navy Pier. And the reason I'm saying that is because the finances of the city and the state are rotten. The burdens of the debt that keeps growing and growing and growing is laying heavy on the people of Chicago, both the union people and the non-union people. And that is where the rub comes, because one side organizes and gets its money from government, and the other side doesn't have a pension, and they end up paying. What are they going to do? To find out, we're talking to Ted Dabrowski of WirePoints, wirepoints.org, a financial analyst, and my good friend and fire fan, Scott Wagspack, chairman of the Finance Committee of the City of Chicago. Jeff Carlin is here, as always, executive producer of the Rokan Show with Anna DeVellantis. And me, I'm John Cass, husband, father, and I say that because those are the important things, columnist for the Chicago Tribune, member of its editorial board, nationally syndicated. Everybody thinks I'm a Bernie bro now because I said Elizabeth Warren should back out and give Bernie a chance. I'm not a Bernie bro, okay? I don't believe in the Big Rock Candy Mountain as an economic policy, all right? And you know where you are? You're here with the rotten pilings under the water, ready to fall over and out and tip your boat over your casino. And the sound of that foghorn on the waterfront of Chicago, and it snakes right past your favorite place, the Chicago Way, on WGN Plus.
Look, the Chicago Way is a deep cultural phenomenon.
In a tower by the river, there lived a man.
Castle.
There was a man who took a stand with pen and paper in his hand, defeating foes in every ward with a pen more mighty than the sword. No escape from his ink lasso in a tower by the river. Castle.
Here's how you get him. He pulls a knife, you pull a gun. He sends one of yours to the hospital, you send one of his to the morgue. That's the Chicago Way.
And joining us now is none other than Ted Dabrowski of WirePoints.org. Ted is a budget analyst, and we talk about many things, but one thing he reminds me is rhetoric is one thing, and the numbers are the numbers. So, Ted, are you like many of my other friends who are bemoaning the fact that I'm, quote, if I quote Dan Prof correctly, bending over backwards for Lori Lightfoot?
Well, I think it's okay that you're giving her a chance because, you know, anybody that comes into this situation deserves a chance. But we also have to remember this is Chicago, this is Illinois politics, and we've yet to see somebody who really comes in as a true reformer and then means it and does things that match that. And she's yet to prove that, at least in the finances.
So when she's making her budget and she's on the listening tour, what should the people of Chicago be thinking about?
Well, you know, there's two different worlds right now. There's a big public sector, Chicago, right? Those who benefit from the state policies and the city policies. And then there's a whole bunch more ordinary Chicagoans. And, they're living two different worlds right now. And yesterday when she spoke in her listening tour, she was one that was full of city workers. So they're looking for protection. They want the status quo. They want to make sure their pensions are funded, more jobs, all that. But I think they're well taken care of by Mike Madigan, Pritzker, the system. What she needs to do is listen to the ordinary Chicagoan. And it's the ordinary Chicagoan who's taking a real beating, right? Not the rich ones, just the ordinary Chicagoans. Their home values are not keeping up with the rest of the country. So their nest eggs are being hurt, maybe even destroyed in many places. Incomes haven't been keeping up. People are leaving. The bills keep growing, right? You had massive, almost $800, $900 million in new taxes under Rahm Emanuel, property taxes included. It's really, really tough for people. And she should be listening to them because they're the ones that need relief. And instead, I think what they're hearing is, hey, you ordinary Chicagoan, get ready because I'm coming after you with more taxes. So get ready. I'm not going to go after the public sector Chicagoan. I'm going after you, the ordinary Chicagoan. And that hurts.
Well, by the public sector Chicago, you mean public sector worker unions, right? There are 11,000 or so police, and multiply that by two, you know, since many are married, they have children. So that's a group of about 40,000 people. Then you have city workers and firemen.
And teachers.
And teachers.
Right.
Now, the teachers, I'm told, are all upset with me and others because I've been mocking them for their going to Venezuela because it's such a paradise where professional women are now reduced to being hookers in Colombia so they could feed their families. And they're upset. But they've been offered 15%? What is it?
Five-year contract. Guaranteed raises. Right? Well, this is the problem, right? When I talk about the ordinary Chicagoan versus the city worker. You know, and we're not trying to belittle city workers per se. They have a good system going because they have guaranteed contracts for multiple years. The city and the police and fire just came off of 10-year contracts, guaranteed raises throughout. Tell me what ordinary Chicagoan gets that, right? With a multi-million pension at retirement, nobody does. And that's the problem, is that one set of workers is guaranteed all kinds of benefits and jobs, and the other one has to pay for it, even if they're struggling and sucking wind in a city that's got its challenges.
But those workers, the public sector worker union people, thousands and thousands strong, are the ones who provide the backbone for politics in Cook County in Illinois now. They're the ones who organize and get out the vote. And the other people are not. In other words, the system serves them at the expense, you're saying, of the others.
Well, yeah, because somebody's got to pay for all that, right? And so I think this is the issue. Lori Lightfoot came in as the agent of change, the reformer. And, you know, when she stood up to Burke in that first city council meeting, that was like, okay, maybe we're seeing something different. Mm-hmm. You know, this is really neat. But, you know, it's got to follow through to the whole system, and especially when finances pay for everything. So if she were really defending the ordinary Chicagoan, I think here's what she would be doing. She would be saying, look, Chicagoans can't take this anymore. We need a change, an amendment to the Constitution that allows us to reform pensions going forward. She almost hinted at that the other day, and she had to retract it because the unions came all over her. We need to reform the pension plans. Number two, we can't have these labor laws that give the unions so much power over the ordinary people. The unions can strike. CTU can strike, and it has struck. And they're warning again. If they don't get their multi-year contract with 25% raises, they're striking. Look, in Indiana, teachers can't strike. In Iowa, they can't strike. In Wisconsin, they can't strike. In Kentucky, they can't strike. In Illinois, they can. And that gives them much more power over Lightfoot than in other states. So we got to change that. Those are the two big drivers. And if Springfield won't give her that, she needs to go to Springfield, and she's got to be raising the flag for that. I'm the agent of change. I'm the reformer. Give me that. And if you don't give me that, if you won't give me that, Pritzker, if you won't give me that, Madigan, Cullerton, then give me the right to go bankrupt, because we got to reorganize this thing so we make it fair for all Chicagoans.
When Mayor Lightfoot was in with us months and months ago, first taking office, and we asked her about the idea of bankruptcy and whether that's something. And she kind of vacillated a little bit, didn't want to say that it wasn't an option, but kind of hinted that it was really like a nuke, you know, the idea that this is the last option we've got. And she wasn't necessarily seeming like she wanted to pursue it. But as you guys were just describing this, the system in Springfield is so codified around protecting the unions top to bottom that
Madigan,
Madigan, Pritzker, all of them, that if she goes down there and asking this, I mean, it's a fart in the wind, pardon my parlance, but there's no way she gets even close. So she has to be ready to drop that idea, that bomb, to say, hey, this is really our only option at this point, because that other option, the other option of reforming unions and all that, that's never going to happen. Never going to happen. I mean, you need a top to bottom changeover in every seated position in every political house in the state.
And you're absolutely right. She's not going to get anything she wants. Okay. But how does change start? Somebody stands up and, you know, and leads. And that's what we were hoping she would do. I'll go back to why she's already kind of messed that up in a big way. But you're right. She needs to say, I want this. If you guys don't give it to me, then give me bankruptcy. Because if you add up the numbers, and we could talk about that, if you add up the numbers, there is no way that Chicago can pay back its debts. It's way too much. And when you look at it on a per household level, and you look at what people owe, the numbers are ridiculous, outstanding, absurd, whatever you want to say.
Like what?
There's no paying it back. Well, look, if you add up all the debts, and let's take Moody's, the rating agency, they're the ones that give the rating, so they add up all the debts. If you add up all the state, local, Cook County, a Chicagoan's share, a household's share of that debt, it's about $150 billion is what Chicago's share of that debt is. Split it up by the households who have the means to pay, 50% of Chicago's households make $50,000 or less. They don't have the means to pay all that debt. They don't, you know, after taxes and all that, they've got nothing left. So when you say which households are on the hook for that $150 billion, it's $400,000 a household. So imagine that you just go to each household and say, here's your new mortgage, $400,000. You've paid off over the next 20, 25 years. Who wants to do that? You could, you know, the way to get rid of that debt is just to move to Indiana, to move to Wisconsin, move anywhere, and you've gotten rid of $400,000 in debt. That's the problem. There's not enough money for Chicagoans to have to pay off that debt. And they don't have to. They can leave.
And that's math. That's not politics. I mean, there's no shading gray. Well, you're bending the numbers. That's the reality of it. I mean, that is the hard reality.
Here's one. The fireman's pension is funded at 17%.
That's right.
The police and the city workers are funded about 23%, right? That money's due. Where's the money cut? If we hit a recession... And when? It looked what?
When?
When we hit a recession.
When and if, yep. Mm-hmm. I mean, soon.
What happens?
Well, there's no plan. And this is my beef with where Mayor Lightfoot has started. She didn't have a plan as a candidate. Okay. It's hard. I get it, right? And she's inheriting this, but she wanted to run.
Right.
She didn't ever express a plan in her first 100 days. And now she just came out with her State of the City speech or whatever you want to call it.
She wants to start a conversation.
She wants to start a conversation. You know, it's way past times for conversations. We know the math. We know the problems. We know the history. She needs to be standing tall, and she needs to have the taxpayers' backs. We'll see what she does, but she doesn't have a plan. Asking Springfield for the plan, there's a lot wrong with that. One, Springfield is broke. State is broke. The same problems we're talking about in Chicago, they're about the same at the state level. Don't ask the guy in Rockford or the lady in Effingham or Carbondale to pay this off, because they're struggling too. They're actually, a lot of them are leaving the state too. So don't ask Springfield for that. So when she asked for state takeover, for the city to take over the pensions, horrible idea in every respect. Now she's asking Springfield to change the law so she can tax more. You know, that doesn't solve the root causes of the problem, that we have too much pension debt and we need to change the pension system.
One idea that was floated, we talked about, was a statewide property tax. Have you heard this one, Jeff?
I have.
A statewide property tax of 1%. To solve all our problems. Would it?
It's really sinister. No, it wouldn't solve our problems. It'd take a lot of money out from every Illinoisan. But it wouldn't change how these pension debts keep accruing, right? It doesn't change all that. It doesn't change how the politicians are going to give more favors to the unions. And every time that the politicians give something to the unions, guess what happens to the pension debts? They grow. What's really bad about this 1% plan, and a Chicago Fed economist and a couple others threw out the idea, is that Illinois has already paid the highest property taxes in the nation. And if you look at home values and compare them in Illinois and Chicago compared to the rest of the states, it's amazing how much home values have gone up and recovered throughout the country, but not here. So our nest eggs have paid a big price. You know, we've since 2000, right? We're talking about almost 20 years. People's nest eggs should have grown. Their retirement should have been better. People would be more comfortable to be able to retire or do whatever they need to do in the end of their life. That's not happening here. People are losing value in their homes. When you look at inflation, it's a big reason, you know, for a lot of people to leave. The problem with the 1% property tax, additional tax that they want to propose, is it would hurt home values even more. And many people would probably get trapped in their homes because the home values would go down. What's scary about this whole thing is the Fed economist said that would be good. It keeps people from leaving because their home values would be down. Or it would attract people from other states because our home values would be lower.
Is his name Ceausescu? Yeah, right, exactly.
Right.
Yeah.
So it's a horrible plan. And again, what it does is just another can kick that gets away from fixing the pension problem.
And I have a familial case of this. I mean, John, I've talked about this. My brother bought a house in Palatine, which is a very, you know, a very stable, very well-off suburb. And he bought a house in height of the market. Things started to collapse. He had to sell his house. And we're talking 2008 to this year. So 11 years in his house. And he lost $20,000 on that value of that home that he bought 11 years ago. And so where did he go? South Carolina, a state where
everybody's going.
Exactly. And it's, you know, and you want to fault him for just, you know, abandoning family and all that, you know, roots and all that crap. But, you know, when it comes down to the end of the day, it doesn't, there's no here. I mean, there's no reason to be here.
Chicago, that toddling town. Chicago, Chicago, I will show you around. I love it. Bet your bottom dollar you lose.
Thank the blue. Ted Dabrowski of wirepoints.org. Go to it. I go to it often. It's a great analytical tool for what's going on with money and your taxes in Illinois. So how do you get Lori Lightfoot to be bold, Ted Dabrowski?
So Lori Lightfoot's already made a big mistake because, you know, we were just talking, if you were to do big tax hikes to, quote, fix the problem, what happens when you fill the government coffers with more cash? They hand out more raises, more benefits, more programs. And we've seen it over and over and over. Lori Lightfoot, having gone and asked for a state takeover of pensions, saying that, well, we need more taxes, she turns around and offers a five-year contract with guaranteed raises. What can I say to that? Are you broke? Are your taxpayers already taking a big hit? She's talked about the out-migration. She's warned about wealthy Chicagoans leaving. Mm-hmm. She says we can't afford the cost of living adjustments. And at the same time, under the same breath, she's saying, I'm going to give a five-year guaranteed contract with raises that go up as high as 24%. That is ludicrous.
When you add in step increases, right?
Right, when you add in all that stuff, right? The average Chicago teacher will get that. And look, you know, I would love for Chicago teachers to make a lot of money. That's not the problem. It's just that the ordinary Illinoisans have to pay it. Chicagoans have to pay it. And they won't. They'll leave.
Well, one of the classes that lives in the big houses and I guess loves big government are the lawyers in town, right? The lawyers, particularly women and the northwest sides of Chicago and Lincoln Park. What do they do when the rubber meets the road? Does rhetoric trump, pardon the pun, economics or not?
Well, it's but are you saying?
I mean, when do they realize that they're just as screwed as the guy, the small business owner who's got a, you know, a lawnmower business on the southwest side, for example?
I think targeting the wealthier is going to be a massive problem because it would be one thing maybe if the wealthy said, all right, I'm gonna pay more. Okay, whatever, come after me with 60% increase in taxes. That's what's being proposed by
Pritzker. We'll stay, we'll pay. The state's so great.
Yeah. And there's a reason why this place is awesome, right? It is awesome. It's got, you know, great beauty and natural assets and attraction. But when they say, wait a minute, they're not reforming anything. It's the same game, but now they're coming after me. Pritzker wants his progressive tax. Lightfoot wants, you know, some kind of property tax, transfer tax. Again, progressive, meaning ever higher, depending on how much wealth you have. They're becoming the targets. And if they feel like they're the targets to bail out all of the bad behaviors with no reforms, are every one of them going to leave? Of course not. Are a big chunk going to leave? Could be.
They're leaving now.
They're leaving now. And even scarier is you're a wealthy person that lives outside Illinois. Why would you consider moving into Chicago or Illinois to be a target when you can live in so many other places? And this is a digital world, man. This is, you can work anywhere and live anywhere and travel anywhere.
Can you write a column anywhere? I guess that's the question I'll have to answer.
But I want to circle back a little bit, because the idea that Lori gave officers up this, Mayor Lightfoot, my apologies, officers up this contract deal, it's right. The only reasoning behind it is she sees the guillotine swinging of a strike. I mean, that's what you countered on one of the first points we made here today, is that the idea that they have their own nuke and they can use it every day, every month, every year, whenever they want. And it's not fair. It's absolutely not fair, because if they don't get what they want, well, then, hey, we're going to blow the whole system up and you have to deal with it.
And so, you know, you're absolutely right. And it's a good point you're making. And it's something she can lean back on. I have to give these raises because one of the biggest changes in addition to the changing the pensions and the amendment, amending the clause in the Constitution, is we've got to change what's called collective bargaining agreements. Those are the laws that give the unions the power over people on how to negotiate. Yeah, you know, if the union strikes, Lori can take a tough stance on it, but the public may deem her as having been the problem. And so it's always a little tricky thing, because the CTU has its marketing and messaging machine too.
Sure, they can go to Venezuela. and then you can blame the right-wing press, meaning me and some others, for your problems. But it's not, I'm sorry, I did not tell you to send them to Venezuela.
Exactly. Right. So Jeff, to your point, take away, the union should not have oversized power over people. And we have some of the toughest, strictest, most punitive against taxpayers collective bargaining laws. The unions have all the power, and the ordinary Chicagoan doesn't. So that's number two thing to be fixed, in addition with the pension amendment.
How does the city go bankrupt then?
Well, the big risk right now, we're already junk rated by Moody's, and the city has to pay over $1 billion more in pensions between now and 2023. So the debts that we have to pay as a city are going to go up. Who's going to pay for them? Question is going to be recession. If and when it comes, how deep is it going to be? If it's deep, it'll hurt the pension fund's assets, because stock prices will go down. Right now, they're lucky. Stock prices are almost all-time highs. But if we can't make the pension payments, who's going to pay it if we can't pay the bonds? Or are we just going to cut school funding? Are we going to keep cutting into the services that the ordinary Chicagoan deserves? Something's got to give. We don't know how it plays out. But when we hit that recession and there's not enough money, something's going to give, and everybody's going to know it's happening. The financial markets are going to be the first to react to it.
If you like what you hear, or if after I heard that, maybe you don't like what you hear, but you know it's important, find us, The Chicago Way. Go on iTunes, subscribe to us free, tell your friends, write a review, because you're not hearing this anywhere else but here on The Chicago Way. Ted Dabrowski, thanks so much for being here. And maybe someday Lori Lightfoot will get bold. I'm starting to come around to your bankruptcy idea.
Hey, if you want to draw millionaires and businessmen back into a place, declare bankruptcy, because they see dollar signs on trees when that happens.
Well, yeah, once this place is reorganized, it's beautiful. It's wonderful. It's got the scale. It's everything you want, but it's got to be reorganized. Otherwise, it's just too expensive.
Thanks, Ted.
Thank you.
I fell in love again. All things go, drove to Chicago, all things know, we sold our clothes to the state, I don't mind, I made a lot of mistakes, in my mind.
And now we're pleased to be joined with the chairman of the Finance Committee of the City of Chicago, I don't see him in pinstripe suits and green carnations with bodyguards having his driveway plowed first. That was the other guy. This is Scott Wagspeck of the 32nd Ward, chairman of the Finance Committee. Hello, Scott.
Good morning. How are you?
Fine, thank you. So what's new, man? What's new in government?
Oh, there's a lot of new stuff going on, and actually a lot of things. I'm not wearing pinstripe suits, probably a fleece and, you know, dirt under the fingernails, but big difference from, I think, what's been going on as far as I've seen over the last decade plus. City Hall feels different. It looks different. And we're just trying to change the things that a lot of people have wanted for a long time.
The thing I want to talk to you about today is I'm getting a lot of heat from my conservative friends for, they say I bend over backwards for Lori Lightfoot. Am I bending over backwards too much?
Well, I think, you know, the important thing for Mayor Lightfoot right now is she's only been in office for a few months. And obviously she got handed some rotten tomatoes from Mayor Emanuel. And I think just the administration kind of not being truthful about what was coming. I think she does have new staff that are learning a lot. And those of us who are now in some positions like finance chair are learning really how things were operating. And I'd give her some leeway until she can really kind of turn the Titanic a little bit and get some of these reforms in place that we've all been begging for.
One of the reforms I'm begging for is not an increase in taxes, but changes in work rules and addressing the basic math of the situation, which seems to be untenable. You have the fire pension is funded at 17%. The police and worker pension funds are like 23%. The per capita debt on city households is of those who can pay taxes, because others don't, is like hundreds of thousands of dollars. There is a thought being floated out there that Chicago might want to think about bankruptcy as a way out, because otherwise there is no way out.
And bankruptcy to fix these problems that have been eating away at Chicago's stability for decades. I mean, this isn't
it's not something Lori and Scott did.
This is stuff that there's water in the basement for decades here, and the only way to fix it is to gut the place. Way I see it, at least.
Yeah, and I think the analogy I use is, you know, the water went down around the pier, and the pier footings were all rotten, and that's what we've been living on. But I think there's, you know, the diversity of the Chicago economy, the diversity of Illinois is something that hasn't been tapped into, I think, as much. The mayor's talked about working with Springfield. Frankly, I think she needs to reach out across the aisle a lot more, probably to more of your conservative friends, because when you look at Illinois, there's just been this great divide between Chicago and, frankly, anything downstate outside the city boundaries. You know, she's talked about where do we get revenue on the casino and the cannabis issues, and people have differing opinions on those. I haven't always been in favor of those, but I think those are a couple areas where she can start that work between the different parties and the different actors throughout the state. She also has her hands full, you know, looking at the reforms, like, you know, you brought up, how do you reform some of the pension issues or look at those? How do you look at workers' comp programs, TIF reform? I mean, there is a laundry list of things that Chicago needs to do first, not just to find savings and efficiencies, but to reform all the garbage that's been taking place by really the combine?
Yeah, the Democrats like Jim Thompson and Jim Edgar and Rich Daley for 20 years basically put the city and the state in a hole. They did it for their politics.
Yeah, and I think if you look at what Ed Burke was doing for all these years, Michael Madigan with the appeals process, I mean, if you look at how many hundreds of millions of dollars in appeals and inappropriate assessments have taken place, if you look at the Lincoln Yards blighted area, which was baloney, you know, with this new TIF that they put in, all of these things have impacts in the over time in the billions, and it would ease up the pressure on property taxes if Chicago actually, with this new mayor, is able to tackle these problems. You know, and I think the Fed's coming in and doing a number on this finance committee office and opening it up for reforms is a step in the right direction, but there's a laundry list there of things to work on.
I agree with you on much of that, but the bottom line is as you say, the pilings are rotten. And is looking at bankruptcy a responsible thing to do?
You know, it's been out there, and I don't think it's a good idea in terms of, you know, looking at the rating agencies and what they've sent out, whether it's Moody's and S&P. I think they're looking for a lot of these reforms to take place first, and I don't think they would look highly on a bankruptcy. I think there's ways to start repairing those pilings or those footings one by one, and really trying to reinforce, you know, our foundation first. But, you know, you can look at some of the other things you've talked about in the past, you know, about how many different government bodies that are out there. One I'm looking at lately is what Fritz Kage, the assessor, is doing and trying to get rid of corruption there, because all these different governmental bodies were, I think, in some ways working together to hurt taxpayers. And so I don't know. I don't think bankruptcy is the right way to go. I've seen it on the table a few times, but I'd be willing to, you know, work hard over the next few years to try to change things first before we look at that option.
Last time we talked, and when it wasn't about the terrible Chicago fire that I still believe in, and make me a fool forever for saying that, but it's true. You talked about you were opening up the books in the workers' comp thing, because Ed Burke, the indicted alderman Ed Burke, former chairman of the Finance Committee, lord of the Southwest Side, friend of Mike Madigan and drawer of the remaps, had basically controlled this fund of how many hundreds of millions of dollars to parcel
out? Well, it's over $100 million per year.
Right, to parcel out workers' comp claims, the city workers' comp claims, and now it's taken out of finance. What are you seeing, though? What kind of shenanigans are you uncovering that had been?
Well, the first general audit on that showed that there was no oversight over the program of any kind of substance. So you could sit there and you could pay out lawyers' fees for, you know, over a decade on a single case and keep feeding that trough. What we're doing right now is with the inspector general, who's been in this office for the last few weeks and months, literally living here, going through files, going through documents, looking at every aspect of this with us and helping us understand what was going on, you know, and that goes further up the food chain. There'll be a much more detailed review of workers' comp. It's been sent out to a firm right now through the law department to start looking at just the last few years of the individual cases that have been languishing. So we're going to see probably, you know, not a whole lot of detail for the next few months, but then a serious audit that's taking place with a review at the end of it.
Here's me visualizing you guys going through all these files and work or things. How many agreements are on like a you know, cocktail napkin where so-and-so signed off? Yeah, I'm working. Yeah, no problem. Or here you go. Yeah, how you doing? That's what I'm imagining there.
Foolscap,
well,
and quill
pens.
Yeah,
and I think a lot of that, you know, one of the very simple things that we did in this office was when the Department of Planning and Development came in and said, hey, do you want to keep doing the same process that the former chairman did? You know, I kind of laughed and I was like, guys, did you not read the indictment? Napkin deals or phone call deals is what brought him to that point. We know he took Rule 14, which is a sort of an abstention because you've got a financial interest in a deal, or a legal interest in a deal. He took close to 500 of those over the last 10 years. He has been chairman of this committee for close to 40 years. So you can just imagine how many thousands of paper napkin deals there were. That has come to a grinding halt. And I'm just hoping that, you know, you can see a good turn of events there in the future.
Well, that's pretty good, Scott. We've talked about this before, Rule 14 and all that, and the reforms you tried to make. And are you confident that the reforms that the things that you wanted to begin to reform are on their way? I mean, other things, like one thing you wanted was a video of all the subcommittees. You wanted the subcommittees online immediately so the taxpayers could see who's doing what and who's saying what. How's that work?
And yeah, as of tomorrow morning, you can enjoy that. We're actually starting the live feeds of the committees tomorrow morning. That they got the video equipment in, and for the first meetings coming up over this month and next in the future.
One other thing I've got to ask you about, the teachers union. I understand what she says, you know, the city's broke. We know the city's broke. How can she justify giving 14% to the teachers union?
14, 16%. Well, you know, I'm not at the table for that deal, but she's holding the line on a lot of other areas. And I don't know exactly. I haven't seen the agreement, but I mean, I'm kind of wondering why the CTU is ready to go on strike when they actually have a really good deal on the table.
Yes, that's
because they can. Unfortunately,
I've got some. I've got some breaking news.
Police and fire can't, but yeah.
I've got some breaking news. Someone was at the delegates meeting, CTU delegates meeting, and texted me, thought you'd be interested. Last night, Jesse Sharkey told the CTU House of Delegates that a small group of teachers went to the right-wing press, you guys, and jeopardized the contract talks. Never said a word about the clowns who went on the trip to Venezuela. They warned members about talking to the press. What do you make of that? I mean, you're a reformer. I hope people think I'm a reformer. What do you make of that kind of response?
Well, you know, I was a little upset that, you know, certain people were going out to the media and talking about the contract negotiations when they hadn't had the arbitrator's decision yet, as far as I was told. And, you know, the mayor's been pretty quiet about the more detailed stuff within the contract negotiations. So I think it behooves everybody to just step back while negotiations are going on. You know, and I say that about the mayor too. I mean, I know she's very, you know, strong, and she wants to be out there and in front of a lot of these deals. We have a police and fire, police contract, a fire contract. I know they're sitting down talking about those, and you know, those are just as important. And I think people need to understand that, you know, when people are doing this work and, you know, getting into these contract negotiations, that it just behooves everybody to kind of set back a little bit and listen to each other.
On that note, we'll have to say goodbye, except for one last thing. 4 games to go. The Fire has to win every game in order to even have a hope of a chance for the playoffs. Is optimism dead in the mud pits of hell of the Fire fan base, Scott Wagsbeck?
You know, I've been a Cubs fan forever, so, you know, hope springs eternal, even with the Fire.
Thanks, Scott. Thank you very much for being here. Scott Wagsbeck, chairman. I love saying that. Chairman of the Finance Committee.
Thank you, gentlemen, and hope to tell you more about some of the stuff we're doing in the future.
Okay, thanks.
Thank you, sir.
Oh, life, you are a shining path, and hope springs eternal just over the rise when I see my Redeemer beckoning me.
You know, everybody, Jeff and I are sitting here, and we love doing this podcast, and it is thanks to you. Top podcast around here, and it's important to us. We're not getting paid, we just like to do it and talk to you. And we want you to have alternate listening when you're in your car, on your cell phone, plug it in. If you don't know how to do that, have your kids show you. But here's one thing we also need, and that's for you to subscribe. You're not paying for it, it's free. I'm like the committeeman throwing out free hams and turkeys at election, and you don't have to vote for me. All you have to do is subscribe to the Chicago Way on iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher, wherever you can find it. If you're on iTunes, write us a good review, because it really a kick-ass review, because kick-ass reviews count.
They do.
They count. So if you like what you're hearing, and I hope you do, please do that for us, okay?
You know, we're not paying for this, right?
Right.
But all we ask is, as a form of how you doing, is...
How you doing?
Is get one of your friends to listen. Get somebody else, or just somebody meet on the street, somebody see in the elevator, tell them about it. Get them to just give us one listen and see what they like, because that's really how we grow.
You know, tell them, like, I was listening to Carlin and Cass on the Chicago Way. They were really cutting through the BS right to the bankruptcy.
Exactly.
You know, and you got to listen to it, something like that. I won't write the script for you, but you could do that.
Just one person.
Yeah, just one. And then I won't even ask for your firstborn child in recompense. Just tell that to your friends. And you know what else you can do? I'm going to start posting this. When I post this on Facebook, you have questions on it. If you don't like what I said, like, John, were you being sarcastic? And was that satire when you said that Bernie Bro would beat Trump? Were you? Do you think so? Well, why don't you can come on and we'll talk about it on Facebook and we'll read some of your comments. So we hope you do. Because I think this is a good show, and I think
a point of view that you don't get everywhere. And if there's something you think we're overlooking, or something that needs to be addressed, or you know, like I said, all politics is local. If there's something in your local sphere that really stinks or needs to be shined a light upon, let's Facebook. Let us know,
and
or on Twitter.
And who knows? You know, I might even get a column out of it. For Ted Dabrowski of WirePoints.org. The financial analyst that I go to when I want to see what is going on with the city's and state problems and the budgets. And for Scott Wagspeck, without a green carnation in his lapel, without the blue pinstripe suit, without the hair product, he's just a guy in a fleece drinking a Cafe Americano, thinking about the fire game, but he's also the reform chairman of the Chicago Committee on Finance, and I'm glad he's here. So thank you both, gentlemen. And for the man sitting next to me, Jeff Carlin, WGN executive producer of the Rokan Show with Anna DeVellantis, who knows the sadness of siblings moving out of state because of the taxes, Lori and Pritzker. And for me, John Cass, a lonely conservative in a sea of liberal milk, swimming away, trying to keep his head up above water. Thanks for joining us, and we'll see you next time on another edition of the Chicago Way on WGN+.